Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Thanks for staying with us here on Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, the real estate sector is in for some structural shifts on the back of the increase in telecommuting. The residential, retail, logistics, and office property sectors have all had to adapt to a prolonged change in market environment. But to find out what the outlook's like for the regional property market and whether we could see a faster than expected recovery, we're joined on the line today by Jonathan Su, and he's the head of Research Asia at M&G Real Estate. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rachel, for inviting me to join. It's definitely nice to be here to speak to you about the real estate market.
Tell us, so M&G Real Estate, you've just published your mid-year Asia Real Estate Market Outlook Report, and it revealed that markets in APAC region are expected to recover relatively quickly from the first half of 2021 onwards. Can you tell me what were some of the key findings from your report?
I would say the key finding is it's a bit more relative this time because of COVID. As we all know, Asia went into this crisis earlier than its European or US counterparts. And we have been able to flatten the curve earlier than the European and US counterparts in a way. So for us, it's really important to look at the speed of recovery, the economic recovery, then we can focus on the real estate recovery. And for us, we see some acceleration in structural trends.
Right.
That's going to continue to be positive for industrial. But we're also seeing some headwinds for retail as well as some uncertainty for office. So I would say those would be our key findings.
Okay, so let's break it down by sector then. And, you know, let's start off with, you know, how you've seen, perhaps you can share with us, real estate occupiers' needs and preferences evolve in line with the trends such as increased automation and telecommuting.
Yeah, so the COVID crisis has really accelerated telecommuting for office workers. Mm-hmm. And in a way, this has changed the way we look at the office space. You know, do we really need to be centralized in the CBD, or are we able to work more flexibly in suburban office and also in CBD and also in our home? So in that way, what telecommuting has done is lessen the demand for office going forward as we work more and more from home, maybe 1 or 2 days from home, rather than working 5 days from home. And so going forward, we may see a push for higher quality office where there's a focus on health and wellness.
So that said, I mean, looking at your report and just kind of following on from that with the office space, and according to the report, vacancy rates in markets such as Tokyo, Osaka, and Seoul, GBD, are at a record low, but still some markets are expected to record rental declines as well through to the next 12 to 18 months. And you've mentioned Sydney, Melbourne, Hong Kong, and Singapore due to supply side pressures. But again, we're looking at this recovery from next year, and you're looking at a recovery from the second half of 2021 onwards. How will this support total returns for the sector?
For total returns for the sector, we will see a slight dent in 2020. Mm-hmm. But as we see an accelerated recovery in 2021, it should boost total returns going forward for 21 and 2022.
Right. Okay. So that said, what does all of this mean for rental in the business and retail markets?
For retail markets, we will see more headwinds to come. With the COVID crisis, it's really accelerated the push to e-commerce. Mm-hmm. And that means less sales in physical stores and shopping malls, in high streets. It makes it harder for landlords to nail down exactly how much turnover that physical retail shop is generating at a shopping mall. So I would say for retail, it's likely to dent rental growth even more, at least for the next 12 to 18 months, if at a more accelerated pace. If at a more drawn out pace, it could take to the next 3 to 5 years. So for retail, we are still seeing those structural headwinds coming out of e-commerce and, you know, that acceleration because of COVID, driving more consumers to shop online.
And so, as you mentioned, retailers are going to be more demanding for more variable metrics such as footfall, digital-based value-added services by landlords. How is this going to change the retail landscape In terms of landlord offerings, perhaps, what do you think?
It's the change that's been going on over the past 3 years or even 5 years per se. I would say a lot of landlords have been trying to become more experiential, make it more prolong the footfall within the shopping malls. We look at an example, a brand new example would be Jewel in Changi. You can see how much work in terms of making it more experiential. It's basically Gardens by the Bay, but, you know, mixed with the shopping mall.
Yeah, okay.
So in a way, I would say malls have already been evolving over the past 3 to 5 years. And we're going to see more of that, more money and more investments being spent to keep consumers within a mall longer, or to make it more of an experiential shopping trip for consumers.
Some more waterfalls and rainforests to relax me while I spend my hard-earned cash. Is that what you're saying, Jonathan?
more ways to keep you in the mall for longer. I mean, it might be more, if you're a family, it might be more activities for kids. If you are a dad, there might be more, you know, dad stuff for you to relax, rather, and then hold on to all the shopping bags so you can sit there and watch the sports at a bar with a beer.
I see. So moving away from retail, though, and let's talk about the logistics space. Because, you know, you've mentioned in your report that the pandemic's accelerated e-commerce penetration. And this is, you know, on the back of what we've been talking about with retail, the shift from brick and mortar to really online. How do you see this shifting and changing logistics space going forward?
It's definitely going to require more logistics space. So one of the statistics I can give you is that coming out of, you know, for Amazon, when they, for every $1 billion of sales they do in US dollar terms, they require 125,000 square meters of logistics space. Wow. And if we look at this across for Alibaba, for Taobao, for any of these e-commerce players, the number doesn't differ too much. It's around 100,000 square meters to 150,000 square meters for every US $1 billion of sales. So we are likely to see more logistic space demand going forward. So that's one thing. The other thing that we need to pay attention to really is the robotics and automation. And that's going to require more efficient space, more space to allow for these automation, these robots, these to move around and collect goods and take it from one place to another. So we need a more efficient floor plate in terms of industrial space. And those will be the trends we see going forward, as well as more cold storage to facilitate grocery deliveries and more specialized storage going forward.
When you're talking about AI robotics, it's really from a logistics perspective, it's the supply chain logistics industry professionals really need to step up their game, those that haven't already, in terms of catering to the future.
Yeah, I would say it's time to really upgrade your game in a way to say it's really you get with the times or you're going to become obsolete. So it is very crucial for retailers, logistics operators to get the model right, to plan for the next 5 to 10 years rather than focusing on this year or next year.
Okay, so Jonathan, we've covered logistics, we've covered retail, we've covered office, but let's talk about residential. And, you know, there was an interesting point in the report, and that's that there will still be preference for city living. I mean, anecdotally, over some of the conversations that I've had, particularly for the Singapore market here, some of the property agents or property players have said that they're seeing a shift in terms of buyers looking for larger properties as opposed to centralized properties, just because, you know, with working from home, we can be on top of each other if we're living in a smaller space. So is it really necessary to stay within the city center?
I would say for some younger generation, and it's out of preference, some still prefer to be in a city. The city still does offer a lot of social aspects. It's convenience factors that suburban bigger houses cannot provide. And also from this work from home pandemic, you have densely populated cities largely dependent on long commutes. So sitting in subways, taking the train or taking a bus. But if you're living closer to the city, you're actually able to walk to work or bike to work. So you still see a subset of demand that really wants to stay in the city for its liveliness, for its convenience, and for its proximity to work.
Jonathan, is there anything else you'd like to add?
It's hard to say this because it's not in the report. Mm-hmm. But I would say in a global context, Asia still looks like a bright spot because of its, or at least our expected speed for it to recover relative to Europe and the US, as I mentioned earlier. So I would say that there's still a lot of interest sitting on the sidelines waiting to look at Asia as Asia real estate with more interest, with more growing interest, and to increase allocation to Asia real estate.
Jonathan, well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Nice speaking to you.
We've been speaking to Jonathan Su, Head of Research Asia at M&G Real Estate, on Powering Your Property on Primetime on Money FM 89.3, Singapore's most influential radio station.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.